Ephesians chapter number 6, and we are going to start verse number 10. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And I want to just take my thought from verse number 10. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be strong in the Lord. Praise God. Amen. God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness today. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us here tonight. The power of your strength, God, would come down upon us and amongst us. Present power and your spirit and your anointing would come down and talk to us today, Lord. Help us, God, our minds, our attention, our understanding, Lord Jesus. Let it all be open and subject to you, Lord. And we'll give you the praise in the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Finally, my brethren, he was coming to a conclusion. He was giving his ending remarks. And he'd been talking about several things throughout the book, throughout this letter. But of recent, he had been admonishing how that the home should be structured and should be operated. He talked about children obeying your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And honor your father and your mother with the first commandment with promise. And servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And he goes on, and then he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. This is something that Paul is addressing unto his brethren. This is not necessarily a new concept to him, even though he is one of the newest, the members with authority, having a voice of authority given unto the Gentiles, but he himself is not too far removed from a conversion, being converted on the road to Damascus and thinking that he was doing that which was right with the power and the authority of the governor to go down and to try to shut Christianity up. And lo and behold, the Lord begins to speak to him and begins to reveal unto him the error of his way. And revealing unto him the error of his way, Paul submits unto the will of God, to the perfect mind, the concepts of God, goes down to the preacher's house, Ananias, and listens to what he's got to say, and then he does what is required to become a part of the family of God. And then he gives himself certain time to understanding the scripture. And he is there, and they are teaching him and helping him. And he, being an educated man, goes about knowing things already in any ways. But basically his eyes are opened to the revelation that he has received. Lord, who art thou? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And so it's the family of God. And Paul addresses all of this here, and he's writing to the church there, but he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We would see and know that oftentimes Paul would write about warfare. He would write about casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, he would write to the church in Corinth. And here in the church and in Ephesus, he begins to allude to the warfare. And that is because that he has and is and will continue to be in a war. He would write and he would tell in the Roman church and to other church that he had gone through many, many things. And he would say that he was in perils and in dangers, and he was in perils of robbers, in perils of the countrymen, in perils among his own brethren. He was shipwrecked, and he was all of these things. He said, I've been beat, I've been whipped, I've been stoned, I've been left for dead, I've been this and this. And what he was saying is, you know what? He said, I could have quit at any given time. I could have thrown in the towel. I could have thought to myself and told others and said, you know what? What is all of this worth? He said, I've had ample opportunities to stop. I've had ample opportunities to walk away. I've had ample opportunities to take a back road to everything and just let somebody else do it. And so he is alluding to us that the walk of the Christian faith is not necessarily an easy one. He knows that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so he has learned this through experience. He has fought the good fight of faith. And he would tell Timothy later on, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I am ready to be offered. He said, I have finished my course. And he would tell Timothy to hold fast thy crown, that no man would be able to take it. And so here in the church, to the church that is in Ephesus. Now, I could go and I could spend some time, but just let me breeze through this, that Ephesus, we know, is addressed in three different areas. Ephesus is addressed in Acts. Ephesus is addressed actually right here in the book of Ephesians. And then Ephesus is addressed again in the book of Revelations. And he would have to deal with the love that they have. In Revelations, he would say, I have somewhat against you. Jesus, the Lord, would speak unto John the Revelator, and he would say, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. And in the book of Acts, we could see where they were working, and the goddess Diana was known as the seventh wonder of the world. And so there were those that were standing around Diana, and they would cry out, great is the goddess Diana of Ephesus. Great is the goddess Diana of Ephesus. For hours on end, that's all that they would say. And so they are the Ephesians, they're given, excuse me, they're given to idolatry. They're given to that. Paul would write, and Paul really wouldn't even address idolatry and such, even though that the goddess Diana was there in Ephesus. When it came to all of that, he just simply said, Ephesians 4 and 5, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. And then he just continues on with his letter. And so he doesn't really address it. Ephesians chapter number 1, he talks about the greatness of God and everything that God is unto us. And then in 4, he kind of talks about the oneness there. 5, he's talking about the family. 6, he's continuing it on. And then that's in 5. And in 6, he's continuing it, finalizing it all. And then he comes to the finality of it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We are living in a day and a time where if you're going to make it, you've got to be strong in the Lord. Jesus spoke and he said, you know what? He said, I've got one concern. He said, and the concern that I have is that when I come back, shall I find faith upon the earth? As a matter of fact, he said, you know what? He said, except those days that would be shortened, that the very elect would be deceived and they would fall away. He said that there was going to come a great falling away. I know that there is going to be an end time revival, and there are those that say no, it's not going to happen, and they're saying that it will, and some preach a great end time revival, some preach a great falling away, and I say, you know what, let's just function and be a church and let's have revival until Jesus comes. Amen. We can't give increase no matter what we do. All we can do is plant, and all we can do is water. Amen. We sow, we water, and it's God that gives the increase. Amen. So why worry about all of the other things? Let's just do what God told us to do, and let's be faithful until he comes. But you know what? And being faithful until he comes, you're going to have a backbone. You're going to have to stand up because you've got an adversary that is going to fight against you 24/7. Yes, he is. He's going to fight against you even when you're asleep and trying to get into your dreams and trying to do this and wake you up and strike fear in your heart for some noise that you heard or whatever it is. And he's just trying. The Bible said in the book of Daniel that he's just simply trying to wear out the saints of the Most High and do his dead level best. And some of it in wearing out the saints of the Most High, some of it's going to be physical, some of it's going to be spiritual, and some of it's going to be mental. Amen. But if you're going to be a servant of God and you're going to serve God, you got to have a desire and you got to have a commitment and you got to stand and you got to say, I am going to be strong in the Lord, because your resolve is going to be tested. Praise God. Praise God. I said your resolve is going to be tested, and you've got to have a made up mind that I am going to be strong in the Lord. Praise God. Amen. You're going to be given ample opportunities to quit along the way if you want to. Amen. You're going to be given ample opportunities to get tired and to get weary. You're going to be physically tired. You're going to be mentally tired. You're going to be spiritually tired. And you know, here is the church, and we're fighting to have revival, and just that mental tiredness would come upon us, amen, that we would want to draw back and say, you know what, I'm just tired. But we got to be able to stand, and we got to be strong in the Lord. We've got to be committed, amen, even as Paul was. Paul was committed, praise God, amen. When you signed up, if I could say it like that, when you signed up to be in the Lord's army, amen, the devil took you on, amen, 100%, and he said, this is war. But when you was out there in the world doing everything that he desired for you to do, he didn't care about you. But when you came into the church and you began to hear the truth, that is when the devil got interested in you. Praise God. Praise God. He isn't worried about you when you're out there doing all of the lewdness and all of the things that is out there in the world. He's not worried about you when you got a vulgar mouth. He's not worried about you when you got a perverted mind. He's not worried about you when you're living in fornication and in adultery. He's not worried about you if you're sitting on a bar stool. But when you come to the house of God and you hear messages that is able to set you free, that's when he gets interested in you. He does not want the pastor or the preacher to preach a message of repentance. He does not want, amen, any sinner to hear the message that you've got to repent of your sins, that you've got to turn from your wicked ways. You cannot live and continue to live the same way that you've always been living. Amen. You cannot just accept the Lord as your personal Savior and just continue to live in sin. The Bible says that the Lord hath come to save you from your sins. The devil does not want you to hear that you need to live righteous and holy before the Lord. Praise God. He doesn't care what you hear, amen, as long as it's not Jesus' name baptism. He doesn't want you to hear that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You know why? There's soul-saving power in that. There's delivering power in that. Amen. The fact that all of those sins are laden upon you and chained to you, but when you go down in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you take on that family name that is in the book of Ephesians chapter number 3, in whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. That name that he said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name that is above every name, that name that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to, that name that demons tremble at, that name that has the power to set you free. The devil doesn't want you to hear that. The devil doesn't want you to act upon that. The devil, amen, does not want you to be saved. Praise God. He doesn't want you to hear the message of Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He doesn't want you to receive the Holy Ghost. He wants you to think that it's something foreign. He wants you to think that it's something, amen, other than what it is. But it is the gift and it is the promise that is available unto you. Amen. For the promise is unto you, Peter continued to say, and unto your children, and unto all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Amen. When the devil heard that message, he was terrified, and the Lord Jesus was glorified, and the church was edified. There was power that was invested to the church, and all of hell began to shudder. You know why? Because it's still the message that'll set the lewd man free. It's still the message that'll set the vilest sinner free. I don't care if they're a murderer. It is the power of God into salvation, and it has the ability to set us free. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Enemy wasn't so interested, and I'll prove it to you. The enemy wasn't so interested when they were caught up in Judaism. He wasn't so interested when they were just, amen, in the temple sacrificing things and such like that. He wasn't so interested in all of that. Why? Because he knew what had taken the place of all of that. Amen. The blood of bulls and of bullocks had its specific time. It had its purpose. But he knew what Calvary did. When it all had transpired, he knew what it did. But to have all of these Jews and such still practicing sacrifices, that didn't bother him whatsoever at all. Amen. But when all of those Jews came to Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, that's what bothered him. Amen. Because all of those Jews, amen, got a revelation that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and that he was God manifest in the flesh, and that he was the answer. He was the promise fulfilled of the Old Testament. Amen. And when those Jews began to hear that message, and they cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? What do you mean, what must you do? Amen. Your sacrifice and your sacrifices, you're paying your temple tax, you're still dressing in your phylacteries, you're still doing all of these things. What do you mean, what must you do? No, there was something about it that they realized that what I am doing now, amen, has changed. I've got to do something different. They were pricked in their heart, and Peter stood up and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. The devil lies and says you don't have to have the Holy Ghost. That's not what Acts 2:38 says. The devil lies and says you don't have to be baptized. That's not what Acts 2:38 says. That's not what 1 Peter 1:20 says. At 3:20 and 21 says, amen, the devil lies and says you can continue to live however that you want to live. And Paul says, no, my friend, you got to be strong in the Lord. You got to stand up for what is right. You got to be a light in the dark hour. You got to be an unwavering, uncompromising pillar, a lighthouse in the darkness area, that your light would shine before men and people would see God through it all. Let's magnify him here today. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's stand here tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Paul said you got to be strong in the Lord. It's not time to get weary in well-doing. It's not time to lay down your Bible. It's not time to lay down the sword of the Spirit. It's not time to start missing church. It's not time, amen, to get lax in all of these things. I'm here today to tell you the Lord is still coming. Amen. I'm still looking for that return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can't afford to give up now. I can't afford to quit now. I can't afford to lay down now. I got to be strong in the Lord. And it's still, amen, to us today. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And you've got to have on the whole armor of God. That is important. You can't just put on any armor. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Imitations aren't going to work. Lookalikes aren't going to work. Religious is not going to work. You not realize that everybody on the book and on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, do you not realize that every one of them were religious? They were all religious. As a matter of fact, the Bible called them devout. Devout. But yet they needed something. The Lord wasn't willing just to let them die in their past knowledge. He gave unto them understanding. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but God's righteousness. You gotta have the shield of faith so that you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You gotta have on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, not just any helmet. There are some inferior helmets. But when you have the helmet of salvation, when you have God's helmet of salvation, it's going to work. It's going to protect your mind. It's going to protect the central nervous system of all of your being. Amen. You got to have on, you got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Loins girt about with truth. That's the whole armor of God. And you've got to have on the whole armor of God. Paul said, so that you would be able to withstand. And so that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul said, they're coming. It's coming. Mark it down. It's coming. If you're a child of God, just mark it down. The battle is coming. Chances are you're already in a battle. You know why? Because the devil knows that he has but a short time. It's time to stand. And it's time to be strong in the Lord. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be weak. Christian on Sunday and a heathen on Monday. Christian on Wednesday and a hypocrite on Thursday. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Come on, child of God, stand. Come on, child of God, stand. Amen. If you're sitting there looking at quitting, if you're drawing up a battle plan of how that you're going to get out without being, I encourage you today just to go ahead and just rip it up. I ain't got no quit in me. Amen. Well, I think that if I could do that, no, rip it up. This is where it's going to happen. Amen. Working and walking with God. Can we love him here today?